Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Reading today from the Gospel of John, the message of the Lord Jesus to Nicodemus, as we find it in the third chapter. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So far we read the message of Christ to Nicodemus. It continued on a few more verses, which we'll consider at another time. Let's pray that we will consider and understand this, as well as the Spirit teaching us the rest of the message that Christ gave. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus. We come asking in his name to be taught by the Spirit, who alone can open our eyes to see thy kingdom, and also to see thy word, to see ourselves in the light of it as sinners, and especially that which part which we did not read, telling us that everyone that does evil hates the light. Father, we pray that thou wilt revive the church in that truth, both in believing it as it is given, and also experiencing it, having it applied by thy Spirit, he opening our hearts to receive it, to bring us to repentance, even as one of the churches were brought to repentance at Corinth, having a godly sorrow over their sin. And we pray that we might have that again today in the church, and then as well in the world, that the world might come to see thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent, that the world will come to see ourselves as sinners before thee, and the great distance between us, thy ways and our ways. We pray, Father, that there might be an awakening. There might also be more laborers called to go into the fields that are white under the harvest, where the laborers are few. We pray for these spiritual things first. We also give thanks for the blessings that we have in nature, the sunshine, the rain, the food, shelter, freedom, many blessings that we have that others do not have. And we pray for those who are in suffering, the hungry, the homeless, the war-torn lands, the persecuted. We pray for those in sickness and injury. Pray for those in older age, the broken homes, the children in those homes, those in sorrow and sadness. We pray, Father, for our soldiers, wherever they are, our policemen and their difficulties under the situations of today. We pray for other needs that there are in the schools, many, many needs, Father, that are temporal, but we know that the things of thy kingdom can remedy them. And we pray, Father, that we might be made to seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness with the promise that all these things will be added. We ask it in thy name, through Christ. Amen. As we look at these words again, thinking of Nicodemus coming to Christ by night, we read he was a ruler of the Jews. We also see the Lord Jesus asking him, in the 10th verse, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Some of us will get probably one picture of Nicodemus and some another, but we might ask the question, who is he really? Who is Nicodemus? Who is the one described as a ruler of the Jews, or described by Christ a master of Israel? we can get a right description from the Apostle Paul, who was also a Pharisee, as Nicodemus was. Listen to Paul's description of the Pharisees as he was later before King Agrippa. We read in Acts chapter 26, verse 4, "My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews." So this was a picture of the Pharisees, the straitest sect of our religion. They were what we probably call today the conservatives, or some would like to say, my denomination is the strictest, my denomination is most right. And there are those that have probably had that reputation. Some of them, sadly, have lost it. If we think of those that came to our shores in the beginning of our history, the Pilgrims, the Puritans, the different denominations, some of them have sadly fallen a long ways since those forefathers. And we sometimes almost mockingly say a Pharisee, as if that is one that is not to be very respected. Sometimes we think of it as hypocritical. And certainly, some ways they were described that way, as washing the outside of the cup. All of that was true for some of them, but there were those here as Nicodemus, who evidently was taught of God and came to the Lord Jesus by night, and stated, first of all, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God." He knew the miracles that Christ did, and he recognized it. We also see somewhat later in the life of the Lord Jesus, when the Pharisees and others wanted to take the Lord Jesus and stop his ministry. We read in John chapter 7, verse 45, after they had sent the officers to do this, it said they came back to the chief priests and Pharisees and said unto them, "Why have you not brought him?" The officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." Then answered them the Pharisees, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people, who knoweth not the law, are cursed." And here we see Nicodemus. He had been taught of Christ, and now, probably a year or two later, he is here amongst them, defending Christ. And we read in verse 50, "Nicodemus saith unto them, He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went to his own house." Here we see some of the Pharisees, along with others, chief priests, which many of them were Sadducees, the class that were more liberal. They did not believe in angels. They did not believe in miracles. They did not believe in the resurrection. They were there also as priests. They were there with the Pharisees. Here they were together, having a common enemy, the Lord Jesus. And they sent their officers to take him, but they didn't bring him. They said, "Never man spoke like he did." They were impressed. They left him. But then the statements they made, they said, "Have any of the Pharisees believed on him?" They probably didn't know that Nicodemus had been there some time before and did evidently believe on Christ. Here we find him defending him, and they sort of mock him. They say, "Art thou also of Galilee?" Galilee was the northern part of the 10 tribes, and it was not a place recognized like Jerusalem or even Judea. They said, "Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Here they were, mocking others, thinking they were the ones that believed right. They says, have any one of the Pharisees believed on him? And then talking about the rest of the people, thousands did go to the Lord Jesus and listen to him. He fed 5,000 one time, 4,000 another time, healed many of them, and they followed him. But it said, this people who know of not the law are cursed. That was the thinking of the proud Pharisees. But how right were they? They said, search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Where did those Pharisees have their knowledge? From tradition, too often. Not from the scripture. They said, no prophet ariseth out of Galilee. And yet, what did the scripture tell them? We go back to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali. These were two tribes far to the north, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. This is the place where the Lord Jesus was living. He was born in Bethlehem, but he lived in Galilee, lived there near the lake, Sea of Galilee. And Isaiah said, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light have shined. This is where Christ had much of his ministry. Here, especially in the early part of his ministry, he preached in many synagogues. And he preached in Capernaum, just on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. He lived there after he lived in Nazareth. So Christ was there in that place. And we can see Matthew writes of that prophecy. Matthew chapter 4, we read verse 13 of Jesus leaving Nazareth and came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is on the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. That's what Isaiah had spoke of in the 9th chapter, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up. That was the prophecy of the Lord Jesus by Isaiah 700 years before. And Matthew is saying that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Christ is now doing that. For one thing, the Pharisees didn't want to recognize anything of the 10 tribes and of the northern part. They were sometimes called Samaritans. And here they said, no prophet rises out of Galilee. And yet Isaiah had said he would. And Matthew writes, it was fulfilled. The Lord Jesus was that. And that was the one that was now by. One of the strictest sect of the Jews, but not knowing the scripture. I think later of the two men on the road to Emmaus, the afternoon of the resurrection of Christ, when Christ says, O fools and slow of heart, not to have believed all that the scriptures have spoken. Oh, how much there is in scripture that we don't believe. I was guilty for years and years, not believing the scriptures, not believing about a holy God, the only true God, believing in the wrong way, one wrong way first for a number of years, then believing it another wrong way for another number of years before God did with me, as he said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I didn't see it as it was. Actually, I learned in all that conviction, I was a Pharisee, one of the hypocritical ones, one that only washed the outside of the cup and not even very good at that. When God shows us his kingdom, he also shows us ourself, and he shows us we are outside of it. And evidently, Nicodemus learned those different things that Christ spoke. The gospel, as we read it, the well-known verse, John 3:16, and other things. And now, this time spoken of here in John chapter 7 later, he was there amongst them, defending Christ. He says, does our law condemn any man if they don't hear him? But the Pharisees would not hear him. They would try to tempt him. They would try to trip him. They would deceive, asking different questions, but not wanting to learn. Is it any wonder that the Lord Jesus said, except ye be converted and become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God? At 28, I had to learn that I didn't know any more than a little child of the scripture. I had memorized much of it, Sunday school, heard it, historically would say, I believe the Bible, but didn't really know what it was. Didn't know rightly about the kingdom of God. Those words again, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That of which the Lord Jesus said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, but is within your hearts. It is a spiritual kingdom. And that was made plain here by the Lord Jesus to Nicodemus in verse 6 of this third chapter. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There were those along the way. At that time, Nicodemus was ignorant when he came to the Lord Jesus, but there are also those who did know things that they were taught. We think of the Lord Jesus after he was born, and as Joseph and Mary took him to the temple to do what was ordered. We read Luke chapter 2, verse 23. Verse 22, first, and when the days of her purification, this is of Mary, according to the law of Moses, was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said of the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And then listen to the 25th verse, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death till he had seen the Lord's Christ. Here was one truly waiting for the coming of Christ, as God had promised to Abraham, David, and by Isaiah, many different promises. We read one place about them, Isaiah chapter 9. If we would read further into that chapter, we would read that a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. We read also about him in the 7th chapter. And we can read in the 9th chapter that his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. All that was said about Christ. And when he came, it was fulfilled. The Jews seemed to know where he was going to be born. When the wise men came, he came to Jerusalem and asked. They said he's going to be born in Bethlehem. They knew that. But other things, as we mentioned, what Isaiah said, he would come out of Galilee. He would teach in Galilee. He would be a light there. They would not believe it. How often we are against Scripture. Certain things we don't want to believe. Sadly, conversion is one of them. The new birth. Oh, that's for somebody else. That's for others. Even plain messages. I heard one when I was along the way for sinners only. And when I told the minister about it, he said, that's for other people, not the people in the church. That was the thinking of the Pharisees. They despised the publicans and the harlots. And yet the Lord Jesus said, they go into the kingdom of God before you. They heard John and repented. He says, you, after you knew it, didn't repent afterwards. We all need to be born again. We all need to repent. We all need to come down to know what sinners we are before we will believe rightly in Christ. We can't believe in him and be in self-righteousness. That's where the Pharisees were. Paul describes his own people later when he writes to the church at Rome. He states there in Romans, they going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to God's righteousness, Christ being the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. We sometimes think that believing is limited to faith that saves us, faith that is in Christ, but it's not. It's not limited to that. We have to have faith that what God says of you and me is right. Faith in God. Faith that when he says there's none that doeth good, no, not one, that he is right and we're wrong. We're so wrong that there's none that doeth good, no, not one. Have you believed that? Has that brought you to the door of the kingdom of God? As one that was only a sinner, that could only sin. That's all we are, only sinners, all sinners. That's why Christ had to die. If we aren't sinners, why should we believe on him as coming into the world, given by God's love, as John 3:16 tells us? We need to hear the whole counsel of God. Paul summed it up as repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance is believing what God says about us. Yes, it's a change of thought. It humbles us. It turns us. It makes us come in the dust. It can make us weep. But it's believing the scripture. Believing the law was holy and I'm sinful. As Paul said, the law was just and holy and good. But I am carnal, soul under sin. Have you learned that with Paul? Have we learned it enough, rightly? Have we sometimes forgotten it in the church? I'm afraid so. We need reviving in the church so we can then teach the rest of the world, oh, that we might believe it together as Christ prayed, that they might be one, that the world will know that the Father has sent me. Think again of the words of the song. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Just as I am is how we have to come. Just as God says we are, and then we can do it.
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.